Amen. Thank you, Brother Miss Stevenson. I appreciate that. What a great psalm. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter 9, and in just a moment, I want to begin in verse number 1, as we will read down to verse number 7. In Isaiah chapter 9, there is a famous verse, as we will read in just a moment. And in just a moment, we will read that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Well, this reminds me of a Sunday school teacher who, the week before Christmas Sunday, she asked her class, she said, "I want you to read Isaiah chapter number 9. And so the students read Isaiah chapter 9, at least they said they were going to. And on Christmas Sunday, they came there on that morning, and she said, "All right, kids, I hope that you read Isaiah chapter 9, just like I asked you to read it." And she said, "I have a piece of candy for every single young person that can complete the second verse." And she gave them a portion. She said, "The people who walked in darkness," and she stopped right there. Now, the verse goes on to say, "have seen a great light." But she didn't say that. She said, "I want you to tell me what it says. The people who walked in darkness." And one little boy raised his hand and said, "Use less electricity," all right? She said, "No, that's not right." And then another one, she said, "The people that walked in darkness," another little girl raised her hand, and she said, "stub their toes a lot." She said, "No, that's not right." Another child raised her hand and said, "spend most of the time sleeping." "No, that's not right." She said, "Now kids, think about it. The people who walked in darkness," and a little boy, his hand went up, and he said, "are usually burglars." And she said, "No, that's not right either." And then she said, last time I'm going to do this, "the people who walked in darkness," and finally a little girl raised her hand and said, "could really use a flashlight." And she said, "No, they have seen a great light." Well, the last few weeks I've chosen to talk about, as far as our Savior, that He came. And one Sunday I preached on that He came to give life. I talked about eternal life, empowered life, enriched life. Well, today I'm going to speak to you on this subject. Jesus came not only to give life, but to give light. Aren't you thankful for light? I'll tell you this. I know that I feel better about life if the sun is shining outside. Anybody else like that here? Boy, the sun just makes a difference, does it not? And this morning, a beautiful sunrise, and it's a beautiful day to come and worship the Lord. But God has given us light that we have here in our natural world, but Jesus came to give light. In fact, do you know that at Christmas time, would it not be a little unusual not to have Christmas lights? I mean, we have Christmas lights on the tree. We have Christmas lights and people's porches and their houses and lights everywhere because that's a part of Christmas. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's actually symbolic that Jesus came to give light. And this morning, what is all about the light of the Lord Jesus? Let's look back in Isaiah chapter number 9, and let's look, if you would please, in verse number 1. The Bible says in Isaiah 9, verse 1, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations." Verse number 2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Now let me stop before I read on. The light is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 9, it is foretelling the birth of Jesus and that Jesus is coming to be a light to them that walk in darkness. Let's read on in verse 3. "Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increase the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy and harvest. and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Now you may wonder today, before we read on, Pastor, what does darkness and war and blood and all of that have to do with the wonderful message of Jesus being born? It has everything to do with it. Because Jesus came to a world of darkness. He came to bring light to you and me. He came to give us light. And listen, unless Jesus Christ had come and been born of a Virgin Mary and come to this earth to die on the cross for our sin debt, we would still be walking in darkness. Now, no, not the physical darkness of the outside light, but the darkness of our hearts, spiritual darkness. But the Bible says in verse number 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But back in verse number 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Now, number 1 this morning, as we talk about Jesus who came to give light, number 1, I want you to notice the person of this light. Now, the person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Christ child, as we talk about here at Christmas time. And by the way, apart from Christ, the world is in darkness. And you know something? Before I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I walked in darkness. The darkness of my sin, the darkness of my sin debt. I was blinded. In fact, do you know something? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the god of this world, and that is the devil, hath blinded the eyes of them which believe not. You know that people without Jesus are walking in darkness. They need the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But the devil wants to hide them from that. He wants to keep them in darkness. In fact, the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light. But the person of this light is Jesus Christ. And folks, may I say to you, no matter where you turn in God's Word, you're going to find that Christmas is all about light. It is about Jesus coming to bring light to people who are walking in darkness. By the way, light has come into this world, and we never need to walk in darkness again because of Jesus Christ. By the way, if there is one truth that leaps off the pages of the Word of God, I'm going to tell you what you'll find. You'll find that Jesus came to be the light of the world. He is light to us. By the way, we think about that day in Bethlehem. And by the way, it was a dark day. It was a day of spiritual darkness. It was a time of war. It was a time of depression, and it was a time of sorrow and heartache. And Jesus came in Bethlehem. In a dark world, Jesus was the light of the world. He came to bring light. In fact, here in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet prophesied that Jesus would come. Back in verse number 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. It goes on to say, "They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Folks, the prophecy of Isaiah was that Jesus would come to be a light to this world. And I don't know about you this morning, but have you come to Jesus Christ because He is the light? He lightens everything. Your folks, may I say to you that when we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He brings us into the light. This past Thursday night, we had a special time. And as I said, we had over 300 people in this sanctuary. I mean, it was packed in here. And people came to listen to their kids and their grandkids, and it was just a great service. The kids did a great job and singing and acting and all of that. Then I had the privilege to be able to preach the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something, it was so quiet, it was so still. And I believe God was working. And there was an individual that was seated there in the service. And I have tried to witness to this person and share the gospel with them, but they just would not get saved. But during that service on Thursday night, that person came to know Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. You know, some afterwards, I was able to talk with them. And can I tell you what it was? It was like they were walking in light now. They were so happy. There was joy and there was a peace. Why? Because they were brought into light. Jesus is the light. He is the person of light. But let's take our Bibles and let's go, if you would please, to Luke chapter number 1. All right, we see Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would come as the light. But I want to show you someone else. His name is Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. And he anticipated the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew Jesus was coming to be born. And in Luke chapter 1, I want you to find verse number 67, you'll find a praise song that Zechariah, under the inspiration of God, is giving. And I want you to notice what it says in Luke chapter number 1, and let's look in verse number 67. The Bible says, "And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying," now notice what he's saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved." Notice what it says there in verse 71. "That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Notice, here Zacharias is prophesying under the inspiration of God that the Christ child would be born. And notice what it says once again back in verse 79. "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." That is why Jesus came. He was the person of light to give us light. Now, brother, may I say to you, you may say, "Well, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I know Christ as my Savior." Well, folks, God still wants to give us light day by day, to direct our path. In fact, the Bible calls us children of light. We are not to walk in darkness anymore. We're not to walk according to the works of darkness. We are children of light. We are to live in His light because He came to give us light. So we see Isaiah the prophet, Zacharias. And I want you to go to Luke chapter number 2. All right, you should be right there. But I want you to notice another man. His name is Simeon. Now, when Joseph and Mary, after baby Jesus was already born, they came to the temple. And they were going to dedicate the infant Jesus. Simeon took the baby to bless him. And notice what he said in Luke chapter 2. Let's begin in verse number 25. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 25. And notice what the Bible says. "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Isn't that amazing? God had told Simeon, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the baby Jesus. You're not going to die. Well, that's pretty amazing, is it not? We read on in verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, can you see Simeon holding the baby Jesus in his arms? He is holding the Christ child, God himself. I believe with tears streaming down his face, here God has answered his prayer. He has fulfilled the prophecy. We read on, the Bible says, when he took him up in his arms, verse 28, and blessed God and said, now verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Look what it says in verse 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Is it not amazing that on the very beginning of Jesus coming into this world, a light shone saying that the Christ child would be born? Isaiah prophesied about it hundreds of years before Jesus was to be born. Zacharias said, this is a light. And brethren, may I tell you today, Jesus Christ is the light. He is the person of light. And if you are here without Christ, you are walking in darkness. And by the way, the devil has blinded your eyes. He wants to send you to a place called hell. He does not want you to see the light. But Jesus came to give you light. He's the person of light. But number two, I want you to notice the purity of light. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not like darkness. I just don't like it. I know that there's a place in, I think in Alaska, where there's a certain time of the year where they only get a couple of hours of daylight during the day. I would be willing to do whatever God wants me to do, but I don't want to go there, all right? I don't want that much darkness. In fact, did you know that there's coming a day when we will go to heaven, those that know Christ as our Savior? And can I tell you something? There is no darkness there. Amen. Think of that. When I was just a kid, I hated the darkness. It's probably because my sisters were always out to get me, you know? And I felt like the darkness was danger, you know? But I hated the darkness. I remember often as a child laying in my bed at night and it was dark through the house. And boy, I just waited for the daylight to come. I wanted the sun to rise. I wanted to see light. There's something about the light, is it not? And In fact, I believe God put something in our hearts that we don't like the darkness once we know Christ as our Savior. But can I tell you, the pure light is Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this to you. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 10, I want to read you this portion. We'll turn there later. But the Bible says that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Do you know that Jesus Christ came to an earth that he had created, that he had literally spoken to existence, but the world knew him not, neither wanted Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says that he came into his own, and his own received him not. And back in Isaiah, it says that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And the Bible says, and we esteemed him not. Jesus came as light, but people did not want the light. In fact, that's why the Bible says in John chapter 3, and let me read a portion to you here in John chapter 3, and where it talks about God so loved the world. We know that verse, do we not, in John chapter 3? Listen as what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Would you notice what it says in verse 18? Listen, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Listen, this is the condemnation. Light is coming to the world. Light has come. And by the way, brother, may I say to you that unless Jesus Christ had come, we would live under the condemnation, the wrath of God. Why? Because, brethren, God demands payment to be made for sin. He's righteous. He's holy. And we are not. In fact, you know something? Every one of us here, no matter how good morally you may be, a person of integrity you may be, all the good deeds you may do, you are under the condemnation of God without Jesus Christ. You're under the wrath of God. And you know something? There's nothing that you can do to appease God. You cannot please God with your good works. You cannot please God with works of baptism or church attendance or good deeds that you may do. Listen, there's only one person that can satisfy the just demands of a holy God, and it is the Christ child, Jesus Christ. That's why he came. He came because we could not save ourselves. In fact, the Bible says that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus came. He came for you and me, but he came as a light into this world of darkness. But Jesus is pure light. Now you say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, let me say this to you. Jesus was born into this world, but he was not of this world. In fact, do you know that the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem was not the beginning of Jesus Christ? Jesus has no beginning. You know something? He has no ending. He has no beginning. Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth. And brother, may I say to you, because Jesus was not of this world, he is the pure, incorruptible light. There is no darkness in him. There is no sin in the sinless, spotless Son of God. By the way, in this natural world in which we live in, do you know something? That there is nothing as pure as light? Nothing as pure as light. In fact, you know that light can never be defiled or corrupted, no matter what it passes through or no matter what it falls on. For instance, let me give you this. You know something? You can shine light through a dirty window or a glass of muddy water, but it will not contaminate the light. It will reveal the dirty window pane. It will reveal the dirt in the water of glass, but the light will never be contaminated. In fact, you know, even the purest water flowing from some stream in the mountain will eventually become contaminated. You think of the snow that's coming down during certain times of the year. I'm thankful it's not coming down now, all right? I'm grateful for that. But you know something? Even the snow, if you were to take the snow and it looks so pure, it's not really that pure. There's contaminants in the snow. And by the way, there's nothing more dirty, is it not, when snow's been around for a little while? It gets dirty, does it not? It gets nasty. But you know something? Light is nothing like water. It's nothing like snow. It is without contaminant. It is pure. It is undefiled. May I say to you, light is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the pure light. In fact, do you know that Jesus exposed sin, but he was never contaminated by sin? Jesus could touch sinners, but sin never touched Jesus Christ. He was totally undefiled. In fact, would you take your Bibles and let's go to 1 John chapter number 1, almost to the very end of the Bible. In fact, did you know that Jesus was the only person that could look another person in the face and say, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" Do you know that every one of us, including your pastor, we are sinners here today? We are defiled by our sin nature. I mean, listen, let's just be honest with ourselves. None of us can say that we are sinless in this building. In fact, there's no man, no woman that walks the face of the earth that can say that. But Jesus, the pure light, could look at someone and say, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" In fact, do you know at the trial of the Lord Jesus, do you know that even they tried to get people, they paid people to lie about Jesus, but none of their stories came true. Why? Because there was no fault in Jesus Christ. He was pure light. In fact, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5, I love this verse. The Bible says, "This then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." Think of that verse. In God there is light, but there's no darkness at all. Why? Because Jesus is the pure light. By the way, I heard the story about a man who was talking about getting his wife something for Christmas. And he said, "Hey, I've bought my wife this beautiful diamond ring." And he was telling his friend about this. And he said, "But hey, I thought your wife said that she wanted a four-wheel drive truck." He said, "Well, that's true." He said, "But look, I can't get an imitation four-wheel drive truck, you know?" You see, so often, things that appear to be pure are not pure. Things that appear to be beautiful are not necessarily. And brethren, can I tell you something? Jesus is not just some fable, not some myth. He came, He was born in Bethlehem. He is the person of light, but He is the purity of light. There is no sin, never any sin in the Son of God. Number three, the last thing I want you to notice, Jesus came to give light, but number three, I want you to notice the power of light. Now, by the way, I know you're not in school, but I'm going to give you a quick little science lesson here, all right? I know we have teachers in the building here, all right? And I don't want to be quizzed on this later, all right? Because I'm not the best on this. But in our natural world, do you know that the speed of light is constant? In fact, do you know that when Albert Einstein formulated his theory of relativity, he said this. He said, "I can put forward this theory of relativity because the speed of light is the only thing and one thing in this world in which we live in. It's the only thing that is constant. Everything else is relative." In fact, what a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know something? That we live in a world that is changing, a world that is not secure, a world that really we have lots of doubts about the status of our world, but there is one thing that never changes, one thing that is constant, and it is the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, listen, we're coming up on a new year, are we not? And in this new year, we live in a very uncertain place, do we not? I mean, listen, the certainty of life, we have no promise of tomorrow. I'm thankful to be an American to live in the United States of America, but it's an uncertain place. But in this time of uncertainty, in the year 2020, I want you to know something. There is only one thing that is constant, and His name is Jesus Christ. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is our faithful God. He is our everlasting Father. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, in Lamentations chapter number 3, the Bible says that His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know something? There is only one thing that's constant. Look here. I'm thankful for my family and my daughter's home from college. I'm grateful for that. But you know something, I love my family, I love being a pastor, but one day all of that is going to pass away. You know something, all of our friends, all of our loved ones, one day will pass away. But there is one thing that is constant in a changing world and in a changing life, and that is Jesus Christ. He is constant. He will never leave you, Never forsake you. Never stop loving you. Never stop working in your life. Oh, brethren, that is comfort to know that He is our light and He never stops being our light. In fact, do you know something? Even the sun, which has never failed to give us light since the day that God created it, will one day cease to shine. One day the sun will cease to shine. In fact, would you take your Bibles, you're there in 1 John, and go to Revelation chapter 21, almost to the very last of the Bible, and I want to show you something. Revelation chapter number 21, I want you to know something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, one day the sun will stop shining, but Jesus is the light. He is our light. Revelation chapter 21, and let's look in verse number 23. Now, this is speaking of heaven, and I want you to notice what it says in verse number 23. It says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Can I tell you this? Who is that Lamb? He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. And brethren, one day in heaven, we won't have the sun, the moon. We won't need it because Jesus is the light thereof. He is the constant light. He is the light to lighten your path, to direct your way. And listen, in 2020, you can look to Jesus Christ. He will guide your steps. He will direct your path. You say, "Pastor, there's some darkness in my life." Pastor, yes, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord. But there's some darkness in my life. Then let Jesus lighten your path. Let Jesus give you light in the midst of your darkness. Because in God, there is no darkness at all. Now look, this doesn't mean that we do not deal with sorrow, because we do. This doesn't mean that we do not have heartache, because we do. But He is the light. It's the power of the light. Would you go to one last place? Let's go back to the gospel according to John. John chapter number 1. I want to show you this in closing here this morning. Now, you know that really history is really a battle between light and darkness. In fact, did you know that on the very night of Jesus being born, there was a battle? The devil wanted to extinguish the light that had come into this dark world. In fact, you know Herod? Herod wanted rid of Jesus. He felt competition. He felt fear. And guess what Herod did? Herod said, "I want all the babies, boys, to die that are of such an age." Can you imagine the death, the heartache for so many mothers because of Jesus coming to this world as light? Herod wanted the light extinguished. The devil wanted the light extinguished. But look what it says in John chapter number 1. Let's begin, if you would, please, in verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now, the word "comprehended," we would almost think maybe it means to be understood, but this word means to extinguish, to put out. You know something? When Jesus came to this earth, everything was done to extinguish the light, to put it out. But the Bible says here in verse number 5, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." It could not put out the light. In fact, you know something? If you're in a dark room and you want to dispel the darkness, would you go and grab the vacuum cleaner and try to vacuum out the darkness? I don't think so. Would you take a shovel into the dark room and try to shovel out the darkness? No. Can I tell you there is one thing and one thing only that will dispel the darkness, and that is to turn on the light. When the light is on, darkness flees. It is gone. Boy, I love that. How many has ever had it maybe in your house where the power was out for a long period of time? And maybe in the middle of the night, the power came back on. How many has ever had that happen before? You know something? You don't mind it. You know why? Because light has come. You're not walking in darkness, physical darkness anymore. Light is on. The light has come. And you're so grateful that the light is back on. Well, brethren, today, I do not know your state. I don't know where you're at in your life right now. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to know something. You are blinded by a darkness of your own sinful state. You don't understand that you're going to spend eternity in a place called hell, separated from God forever. You don't even see it. You don't even realize it. But you're walking in darkness because the devil has blinded your eyes to the fact that God loves you today. I mean, He loves you. He cares for you with an immeasurable love. But you're blinded to the fact that you're a sinner. And because of your sin, listen, there's a price to be paid. And the penalty for our sin is death in hell forever. But may I tell you, the light is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. That's the whole story of Christmas. Listen, Christmas is not just the beautiful picture that we like to picture about Jesus being born in the manger. He came to die for the sins of all mankind. He came to die because there is only one way to heaven, and it is through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 1, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is only through Jesus. And brethren, today, if you're without Jesus Christ, God will give you light if you will look to Him by faith. You know something? When I got saved, I remember saying to myself, I can't believe that I have lived like this for so long. How did I live in darkness? Because I was blind. How did I make those decisions? Because I was blind. But the light comes only through Jesus Christ. Brethren, can I tell you this? No one can overcome or extinguish the Lord's light. No one can do it. And today, if you're here, I want you to know something. Light has come to you. In fact, do you know something? In our natural world, light is made up of 7 different colors. Now, I can't name all the colors, all right? But the spectrum of light is 7 different colors. But you know something? Combined, all 7 colors brings pure light. Well, 7 is the number of perfection. And folks, may I tell you that God has given us light, and Jesus is the only one that can bring the color to our life. He is the only one that can bring meaning to life, because when we know Him and love Him and follow Him, we are not walking in darkness. We are walking in light. Today, if you're here without Jesus Christ, I want you to see that He is the light. But maybe you're a child of God here. Can I tell you something? Even a Christian can start walking in darkness again. No, not the darkness of a lost condition of their soul. But they can get so out of fellowship with God. They can get to a place of despair, to where they're living in darkness. When the Lord has called us to live in light and walk in light. And by the way, the Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 119, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Can I tell you something? It has been through the pages of the Word of God that God has given me light, given me direction, given me guidance, because Jesus is the Word. Oh, brethren, today, Jesus came to give you life, but He came to give you light. Let us walk in the light. And today, if you're here without Jesus Christ, I want you to see that in Bethlehem, Jesus came as a light to the world. You don't have to live in darkness. And you do not have to go out into darkness. Do you know something? People that spend eternity in hell, the Bible says, it is a place of unending darkness. Brethren, Jesus has come and He wants to give you light. Let's bow our heads in prayer.